This is part two of a lesson that I began this morning, and the gist of this morning was that God does allow us to hurt. He does allow us to suffer. He does allow pain to come into our lives. That's just part of the deal. When that happens, sometimes we'll say things like, time will heal. Does time heal all wounds? Well, that depends on how deep the wound is. And some wounds that leave some tremendous scars. In some cases, the grief may change along the way. It goes through various stages, particularly early, but some things may last a lifetime. It's always there. It doesn't mean it's wrong at anniversaries and birthdays when we're thinking about the loss of people that we love deeply. We think of them, we think about the time, maybe even the tragedy in which they lost their lives. I'm sure that for some, as we've been thinking about this week, and I have been, and you know that's where these lessons are coming from, that some folks will not soon forget March the 3rd. And that's okay. That's okay. But it does get easier if we put our faith in God, and we're going to talk a little bit about what that means. The idea of one day at a time is still biblical. Still biblical. That sounded silly. It's always biblical. Still true. As cliche as it may be, we have to keep breathing. Back up one. May I make another reference to the movie Castaway? When the lead character had been marooned on the island, he had a little pocket watch, and on the top of it was a picture of his fiance. And he said that's what kept him alive all 4 years, was the hope that he would get back to her and see her again. He'd given up hope. But one day, he called it, a sail came in and enabled him to get off the island. And when he got back to Memphis, she had remarried. Thought he was dead. And so he's sitting in a room with a friend of his in tears again, saying, I lost her the first time and I've lost her again. But he said, you know what I did on that island? I just decided one day I have to keep breathing. He says, I've just got to do that again because you don't know. You never know what the tide may bring in. For Christians, we realize that we just have to keep making one step before another, even on the times when we just don't feel like doing that, knowing that over time, God will bring some blessings into our life if we trust Him. So we must trust Him. God is asking us to trust Him, even when we think He's forsaken us. Job said this remarkably in Job 13 and verse 15, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. If God takes my life, then I will continue to trust Him. When Job had became ill, after all else that he had gone through, his wife had abandoned her faith, and after telling him he ought to do the same, what good does it do to serve God if this is what we get out of that? He said to her, shall we indeed accept the good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? And that takes a trust in God to realize that I'm going to accept the good that comes from Him, but I also must accept the adversity that He allows to come into my life. What does that kind of faith look like? Does that mean we just keep believing? Well, that's important. We just keep knowing that He is God. Maybe on some days that's the best that we can do. But I think it's more than that. What does it mean to be faithful? Am I going to continue to serve and to love Him? We're going to talk about that more in just a little bit. So not a lot of detail right at this moment. But our faith does see us through. No question. A person who has faith and trust in God will be able to get through some of the deepest pains that can be imagined. We have to keep going when we don't feel like going. As hard as that may be, the world may stop turning for a time. But soon it begins to spin again. The sun comes up the next day. You ever had those moments? I'm thinking about others. In fact, I heard Jim Deason mention this week, how do you get up the next morning? He said about Rodney and his family. How do you even get out of bed the next morning? And so we think about the difficulties people have to face on days when they have to get up. But we have to. We have to keep believing. We have to keep living. Because there's some wonderful blessings that will come eventually. For some people, who can put a date on this? Who can put a time on this? Who can say for every person, this is how long this ought to take? I just tried to quit doing that a long time ago. And let people grieve at their own schedule. I will tell you, and I'm going to mention a couple of things here briefly. Preached about this a while back. That people can and do comfort. You may have a remarkable ability to be the person that can help somebody the most. There are people in this audience that have a special skill, a gift, to be able to help others. We weep with those that weep because we are connected. We are a body in Christ. 1 Corinthians 12. And I think also, though, even though there are tears, I wept Tuesday morning, and I don't know Rodney and his family that well, although I've had a couple of times to spend with him, but not very much. I know some of you more than me. And I guess it just hit me that morning. I think I was telling Brian that what helped a little bit is, and this is not a comparison, please don't misunderstand me. I stand and preach this having very little idea what most people have gone through, this kind of level of pain. But I think why it hit me that morning is our own experience as, you know, again, I'm comparing 100 to 1. But when the tornado went through Tuscaloosa, 2011, on a Wednesday evening when we could watch it on TV and know that Amanda and Ryan, who are not yet married, engaged, and not even knowing at the time, they were in a laundry room about a block off from the tornado, holding hands with others as they felt the building shake around them, praying for deliverance. And us not being able to have any contact with Amanda for about an hour, not having any idea what had happened. Some of you experienced that with us when Amanda's roommate lost her fiancé. The tornado was on Wednesday. They found his body on Sunday afternoon. And so I had that experience. And I think that just that little bit, I guess that's where some of that emotion come from. But for me, it passes. And for others, it passes. And sometimes it just feels unfair, doesn't it? When you're hurting. When the pain will continue. I'm going to read a couple of things tonight, and I'm sure Rodney and his family are being so blessed this week. You'll see that in a quote I'm going to read in just a moment. But I told someone this morning that, you know, all of that's well and good right now, and it's wonderful, encouraging, refreshing. But in a couple of months, that's going to be gone, and some really hard days lay ahead for them. And so people will be there for them. We learn to be there for them. We're instructed to comfort others. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, in the lesson I presented a few months ago, I tried to impress upon our minds that while the prayer to God, Father, comfort them as only you can, is a wonderful prayer and absolutely true. But at some time, God says, you do it. He sends us. He wants us to comfort each other. Sometimes it's with the words of God themselves. Sometimes it's with actions. Sometimes it's just by being there, like Job's friends were able to do. I don't know that that means that everybody can help as much as others. I know that we can't. What a blessing some of you have been able to have others help you who have been through similar things. Some simply are able to help more others more because they've been there. They do know what it feels like. And they know what helped. And they know what still helps, and they know what didn't help or still doesn't help. I was thinking about Gary. I mentioned something about him this morning, Gary Kerr, and some advice given to him. He said one advice given to him had been very helpful. He said, you just got to get through the year first. the first anniversary, the first birthday, the first holidays, the first Valentine's Day. You got to get through the first. And he said, that's helped me. Instead of thinking about I've got to live all the rest of my life perhaps without Susan, I just got to get through, I just got to keep breathing. I've got to keep going through the, getting through the first, as difficult as they may be. I think the hard thing for us is, what is the good that comes from suffering? Does good always come from suffering? I'm going to say it this way. Some good doesn't come without it. God allows us to be grieved, as we read, as Marlon read for us, by various trials. The faith of our, is going to be tested whether it's genuine, so that our faith may eventually be found to the praise and the honor and the glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We're taught in James 1 in passages that to me are still easy to read. They're not as easy for you and for others. That we're to count it all joy when we fall into divers temptations. And as we see from other passages in a moment, that that certainly doesn't mean at the time in which the pain is the deepest. But eventually we're able to see that because we see the value. We face the trials and we understand that the trials produce patience and endurance in our hearts. In Romans chapter 5, tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. I'm not sure that the hope we're thinking about this year in our theme ever becomes as real as it needs to be until we suffer. Well, I understand that sometimes prosperity tests our character. Certainly suffering does as well. But if we let it have its work, if we let it produce the kind of people that God wants us to be and we persevere, we don't give up. We keep trying to be the persons that God wants us to be in our character. When I think about developing the character of Jesus, suffering helps us, many of us, keeps us from becoming smug about our faithfulness. Keeps us from believing that we are living a basically trouble-free life because we are and have been faithful. Dangerous thinking. And sometimes something comes along to remind us that we still live in a very broken world. If God doesn't allow bad things to happen to us, how else can He chasten us? Hebrews chapter 12. He chastens us. It's not enjoyable. How does He do that? Sometimes maybe it is just allowing us to go through things, some of the great suffering that people go through. For indeed, for a few days, chastened as us, as seemed best to them, our earthly fathers, but He for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Those are principles we've got to get in our hearts and our minds before the difficult days come when we have to face some of those challenges. We wouldn't know compassion and sympathy without suffering. As Mark prayed, we stand amazed at the response of people to the suffering of others. It's encouraging, in fact. It lifts our spirits. It makes us thankful for people. It keeps us from becoming so cynical that there's no good in the world. Because sometimes suffering is when people shine their brightest and they let us know they deeply care. If you're not, you and I aren't facing much persecution because of our faith, then we need the tests that come our way. If we're living in a time in which we're not like our first century Christians that we read about in the Bible and we have such a hard time relating to, who suffered literally and personally and directly for their faith in Jesus Christ. And so we have to have it from some other source. And God makes sure that happens, allows it to happen, because we need to be able to experience what they experience. Gratitude. And in fact, it's ironic that the greatest gratitude sometimes comes out of some of the biggest trials. Again, not at the very moment of our suffering. It may be hours later, days later, weeks later. in which there is a sense of gratitude for the things that we've lost, the people that we've lost. When Betsy's mother was in the hospital in St. Vincent in Indianapolis, there was a picture on the wall of a woman that had fought cancer, and I don't know whether it was in remission or not, but there was a statement underneath of it that said this, and I quote, "Cancer gave me an attitude of gratitude." She said, in other words, that's what it took for her to learn to appreciate, to be thankful. Maybe that's what it takes for us sometimes too. As I mentioned this morning, what helped Gary was to be reminded that he could be thankful for the 44 years he had with Susan rather than the focus on what he was not going to be able to enjoy now. We focus on what we thought we ought to have rather than looking back and being grateful for what we have. And what would we do without the stories and the examples both in the Bible and otherwise? Blessings to read these stories. We're told in James chapter 5. "My brethren, take the prophets," in verse 10, "who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience." Who are you drawn to? Me too. I'm drawn to the people, the great stories of faithfulness in the midst of trials. "As an example of suffering and patience, indeed we count them blessed who endure. You've heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." You see that. I've been amazed at the character of people who have gone through great difficulties, very, very difficult things. It's interesting, on Wednesday night, Brian came up to me and he remembers me talking about the tragedy in Florence a few years ago when someone very dear to us, and daughter-in-law of one of our elders, when she had the lawn tractor accident in which her daughter was on the tractor and fell off and before she could stop. And she died instantly, 8, 9 years old. You know, Brian and I were talking, you know, he says that today when he gets on a lawn tractor, he remembers that. How do you go on? It took a long time for Holly. And I think she still would obviously struggle with that. She still lives in the same house, drives in the same driveway, can look over in the yard, the same spot I believe I'd moved, and see, remember where that happened. And yet if I see Holly today, she'll smile. She'll give me a hug. Thankful for the children that she has. And has some good kids. And so how do you get through something like that? Great difficulty. But something I remember is I'm amazed at those who have experienced great tragedies who will graciously listen to someone complain about an ingrown toenail. Now that's an example. But I'm telling you, I remember distinctly. I don't remember how long it was after that I saw her. And we were standing talking. She asked me how something was going. And I think for a moment I shared with her something that was causing me some grief. And she didn't say anything, and I didn't say anything, and I didn't think about it till later. It had been long enough that I didn't even think about it at the time. And I walked away and I just thought to myself, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Do you remember who you were talking to? But at the same time, I appreciate her graciousness. And someone that can have the character that says, Lee, I'm sorry you're going through that. Even though that I walk away thinking later that there's no comparison. That's character. I'm amazed by the kindness and the unselfishness and the serving of people who have been gone through. And when I think about being faithful earlier, it's much more than just keeping going to church and sitting in a pew. But it's continued to have the character of Jesus. It's learning to love and to care, even having gone through the worst things you can think about. I told you I wouldn't go through a list of stories, but you know, one of the things I forget about, of course, it's easy for me to forget about it to some degree, but I tell you, one of the kindest, most eager to help, serving people I know, that I preached the funeral for their 22-year-old son, whose last two actions in his life was shooting someone else over $600 payment of a motorcycle and then putting the gun to himself. How do you go on? And she has. Those people are refreshing to us. They're humbling to us. We're drawn to them. People without envy and jealousy. I'm thinking even of this week, the Pitts are getting remarkable publicity. Rodney hesitated to give the interview, and that's led to some other remarkable comments made by the one who did the interview. But I can't sit back and be jealous because you may go through something maybe people won't know about it nearly as much. But you know what? You won't care. You won't care. See, all of this tests our character. It tests our love. It tests our kindness and our selfishness. Are willing to serve. We've got to rise above it somehow. And it may take time. And I'm talking about character that's built over long periods of time. I'm talking about character that we need to be building now so that when the trials come, there's that old debate. Do the trials help me develop my character? Or do they expose the character I already have? And I've decided in my life, as I said to you before, the answer to that is yes. It's both. And so God, we continue, we're going to help each other and you're going to continue to grow. You're going to learn to pray like you've never learned to pray before. Is any suffering? Let him pray. It's the person suffering. That's not even asking somebody else to pray for me. It's me learning to pray when I suffer. And I tell folks, don't you be afraid to pray like the psalmist. Have your heart-to-heart talks with God that you would not and should not have with anybody else. Again, I'm using my brother and our friend Gary Kerr as an example. Gary told me a few months ago, he said, Lee, I've had some very, very candid talks with God. Some psalmist-like talks with God. And that's okay. And he suggested to me, he says, I think God wants to hear from me. And he says, I think I serve a God who says, I'm here, I can take it. And that's helped him. And it'll help you too. And finally tonight, sorrow but with hope. Rodney said in this interview with the Knoxville television station, I am confident as the Lord says, they're in paradise. And they're happy now, and they died together. Neither one would want to live without the other. They loved each other that much. In his Facebook post Friday morning, and I'm going to close tonight with the words of Rodney Pitts. The early mornings are my truly difficult times for now. But these are also times for me to look at the pictures of our beautiful Aaron, Josh, and Sawyer and see the love that so many had for them and how so many will miss them along with us. We're overwhelmed with God's love being shown to us through the words and actions of so many. It's a tribute to how wonderful these young people are. Our hearts and our lives are now broken. Such a gaping hole, so much daily joy lost for now, but a mark made forever on my soul, our souls, by God's love that has changed the lives of so many. And these same ones have now changed our lives by pouring that love upon us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. I wish for no one ever to know the pain, the everything, of such a tragedy that is, unfortunately, so common in this sin-broken world, except one thing. I would hope and pray that everyone would love the love of God, to know the love of God that is so dear, so compassionate, so giving, so sacrificial, so willing to be kind to this grieving sinner and his family. It is far more than I deserve. but everything my family deserves. Thank you so much. I could not have made it without God's love expressed through you. I praise him for his kindness in yours in such a difficult time. God bless you all. I want the faith of Rodney Pitts. Let's sing a song together today. One more time tonight to be an encouragement to each other. Are you a Christian? God is calling you to come to him no matter what. No matter what. Why not come to him? May the rest of us be encouraged. Thank you for the good you do.